Blog Talk Radio.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Tonight, Dr. Thompson will lead an in-depth examination of one of these Eucharistic miracles. Here now is Dr. Thompson.
Well, good evening, and what a beautiful day this is. My golly. We are living in the light of a holy God and our Mama Mary, his mama. And what an opportunity to get to speak with each other and be with each other and talk to the people around the world. And I can tell you right now, I'm going to tell you this, but you're going to want to share this, and before you share it with others, read it and reread it, what you're going to hear tonight. It's going to be more of a teaching tonight in the Eucharistic miracles that we do, and what the good Lord has put into our path to be able to strengthen our own walk to eternity, but to strengthen those that are put into our path, that they might have conversion, reversion, strengthening of their faith, and be with Jesus someday for eternity. So that's what we're about. We're about lives and souls. And tonight, I want to first thank those that are present with us to be a part of this. And so first, Michael, God bless you. Good to have you here tonight. How's the New Jersey weather?
Well, hello, Greg. What did you just say? You got muffled.
I said, "How is the New Jersey weather?"
Oh, from all the way from New Jersey. So far, so good.
All right. Well, and Donald, who else did you say is with us tonight? Can't already call them. Donald.
I think Doc's with us tonight.
I am. I'm trying to get a little fire going, so I'm up and about, but I'm here. I heard something in the song today. And it was a line from a song from a young man. I'll give his name in a second. He's a very talented young man from the Appalachian Hills of Georgia. And the line goes, you get a line, I get a pole, and we'll go fish, or we will catch souls with the Holy Ghost. That's it. You get a line, I get a pole, we'll catch souls with the Holy Ghost. I thought that was a really good line. It made me think of this show. The name of that singer is a young man by the name of Apalachee Don. His music is uplifting.
Awesome. Well, we're gonna need it as we go forward tonight, and just in a very much in a. I don't think that we'll be able to finish it tonight. We'll probably have to go on with it next week. But there's so much depth of this. Don, are you here tonight?
Kathy. Yes, I'm here, but Kathy is with us also. So we got Kathy and Michael, who should both have the article before them. And
okay,
okay, one thing I do want to mention, though, to find the article, go to, you know, Google Deeper Truth, the Eucharist and the Supernatural Life. So Deeper Truth, the Eucharist and the Supernatural Life. And so the Guardian Angel also, the author. Deeper Truth, the Guardian Angel, the Eucharist and the Supernatural Life. So listen to the show, yes, please do, yeah, definitely. But to read it, like Gregory was talking, you know, take it and read it a couple of times and share it. Share it. Okay, Kathy, how you doing? And you got the article in front of you?
No, but I will have in a second.
Okay.
I'm good to have you here tonight. Great to have everybody around the country and the world where they can hear this. And hopefully grow in your faith and walk to eternity and bring others with you. And that's one reason that we ask you to share these moments with the good Lord is that tonight tonight and next week we'll be covering some things that are in the background with the Eucharistic miracles that we have on a regular basis. And yeah, I'll let you know if we're going to have anybody else other than we're going to go very slow with it because there's enough depth things that are being talked about that it doesn't need to be just read like a novel. We're going to read it like a teaching tonight and next week. The importance of understanding and listening to what is being said by a holy God through his saints and those that are aspiring saints. And so tonight we're going to get started with the first opening just so we can all be on the same page. This may be too much for one setting, but we will try to take time because of the importance of these teachings. Let us immerse ourselves into this walk with God and some of his apostles. As stated, it may take 2 weeks to cover it done properly. And if that happens, we will continue if necessary. If you get this ahead of the Monday evening show, please pray and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. No game. Please pray about this. And then if you understand every word of this teaching, God bless you and seek to become a spiritual director for those less fortunate, like yourself. This must not be taken lightly, and it must be shared if you love God and others, as we were asked by a holy God to do. Love each of you more than myself, and please help me die to myself so that we can be said by Jesus and Mary at some point before we die. Okay, to Jesus through the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary. That's one of the things that hopefully you'll hear and understand tonight. All right, the Eucharist and the supernatural life. I'm going to go ahead and start it tonight, but I'll probably be asking for help from Kathy and Michael as we go forward. What does it say in the picture, Donald?
It says, take your soul, keep your soul, keep your soul at peace. I love what it says. It says,
in
keep
order
your
to
soul
be
at peace.
Okay. Keep
in
going.
Order to be able to be attentive and very faithful to the inner movement of the Holy Spirit. St. Peter Julian.
Yeah, that's so, so important. Was after Peter, the Apostle Peter, after he denied Christ, was he at peace, do you think?
No. He cried.
He wasn't at peace because he understood at that moment in time, the good Lord gave him light, that even in what he did, it was the most painful thing that happened to the good Lord was his friends running away and denying him. That was more painful than any of the other tortures that the Romans were so good at. But one of the best teachers I've found in the Catholic faith as a mentor to popes and Mother Teresa was Father John Hardin. And so this is a couple of his teachings as he touches. If you haven't been in his archives, he touches about every element in the Catholic Church with so much theology, teaching, and depth. And I look for him someday, not only as they bring him into being a saint, and designated a saint, but also very possibly a doctor of the church. Okay, he starts out with the founder of the Blessed Sacrament Fathers, St. Peter Julian Emeard, who states, how is it that our Lord is so little loved in the Eucharist? We're experiencing this right now and all over the world, especially this country. One reason is that we do not speak enough of it and that we insist only on faith in the presence of Jesus Christ in the most blessed sacrament. Instead of speaking about his life and his love therein, instead of calling attention to the sacrifices which his love imposes upon him, in a word, instead of showing Jesus Christ in the Eucharist with the personal and special love he has for each one of us, how many among the best Catholics never pay a visit of devotion to the most blessed sacrament? We know that that's countless number, don't we? To speak with him from his heart, from their heart, to tell him of their love. They do not love our Lord in the Eucharist because they do not know him well enough. And that hits a point that we need to bring home, in not only here, but in the whole country and the world, because of so much, so many people that have not, to receive the Eucharist and believe in the Eucharist, it says first we need to adore him. And so in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, we have an opportunity to talk to the creator of the universe. And I tell you, when I started that in my life, and I still do it today as I think about it, and that is, when I would go in and to talk to the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, I would take Mary with me because I said, oh, my golly, he's got to look at something prettier than me. So I just asked Mary to sit beside me so that I could talk to him and her help me with that. And it strengthened me to be able to do that in that way. Everybody's their own way, but just to be able to, all the miracles that we have talked about, the well over 100 miracles that have been documented by the Vatican, anybody that would think that a little piece of bread could do what was happening or is today happening, We'd have to almost be deluded to think that that's happening because of bread. But after the consecration happens, we are taken into a realm of being with the, the creator of the universe, and being able to talk to him on a personal basis, you know. And the more we, let me ask you, Donald, and each of you, and Kathy, do you love your spouse?
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Most certainly.
Okay, so
absolutely.
When that happens in our lives and true, we want to be with that person, don't we? We want to be, know more about them. We want their good, you know, and that is something that a lot of people, without having adoration and time with the good Lord, they don't know what they're missing, because they don't have a strength of belief that consecrated most is Jesus himself. You know, what does it say on the face of the Divine Mercy image?
Jesus, I trust in you.
That is something that Mary, when she gave her yes, you know, when the angel Gabriel was there, when he said, "Hail, full of grace," and, you know, Mary was given an opportunity, and she could have said yes. It wasn't one of those things where they just walked along and saw, "Well, hey, there's a woman. Let's just have that woman." God wanted the most, from all eternity, wanted the most pure woman and pure womb to be the tabernacle of her son. Okay. Yes, more Catholics, including priests and religious, are not more devoted to the Eucharist because they do not understand the life and love of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. How important is it? It is not only to believe in what the Church tells us God has revealed, but to understand what we believe. It is because of this lack of understanding of what the Eucharist is that people who are otherwise good Catholics are so pathetically wanting in devotion to the Eucharist. I love it when they just speak it right after and speak the truth, you know. I think we may have mentioned at the end of the program last week, Father Calloway, what he just said recently, because we're talking about doing 3 years on the Eucharist, right? And he told the bishops and priests, basically, if you don't move the tabernacle back to the center of the church, it's just talk. You know, to have the strength to say that, because it's what's needed to be said for decades now. You know, if we're going to believe that that's the creator of the universe, I remember a priest saying in Florida on the way to St. Augustine from Jacksonville, this priest pulled over, went to Mass, and we had moved the tabernacle into the center to put up Christmas things. And he said, "I am embarrassed to be sitting in the place where Christ should be, in the center." And so we need to help make that happen all around the world and back in this country. Again, it used to be that way and never was out of whack until back in the, I guess, 60s, 70s, 80s, whenever it started, taking the tabernacle out of the center. As a backdrop for this meditation, we may use two passages from the Gospel of St. John. To grasp the meaning of these passages is to come closer to a realization not only that the Eucharist exists, but also what the Eucharist really is. In the first, John says, tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him may not perish, but may have life everlasting. John 3:16. That pretty well nails it, guys, doesn't it? Behind the incarnation, and therefore behind the Eucharist, is the breathtaking, inevitable love of God. Came to us while we were still sinners, didn't he? The second passage is when Christ made the promise of the Eucharist. I am, he said, the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. The Eucharist and life are related as cause and effect. Lord, keep us full of the Holy Spirit so we understand every moment. First, to refresh our faith on the fact that the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, this, then, is an article of our undivided and immutable Catholic faith. What is immutable? Can anyone define that?
Can't be
moved. I'm sorry.
It's rock solid. It can't be moved.
Yeah. Immutable is everything that the Catholic Church teaches that is part of the positive faith is unchangeable. You can't have somebody come along and want to by their own whims want to change wording and stuff. You can't do that. You can't do that in the Catholic faith. It's immutable teachings. The Holy Eucharist is Christ, period. He is present in the fullness of his divine nature and in the fullness of everything that makes him a human being. As Catholics, we believe that there is absolutely no difference, none whatever, between Jesus in the Eucharist and Jesus, as we profess in the Creed, at the right hand of his Heavenly Father. The act of faith from the Coptic liturgy on this article of faith explains in simple language the belief of the Church that her founder and Savior is in the Blessed Sacrament, and that although he surely ascended into heaven, he never left this earth. The prayer is addressed to God the Father. I believe and will confess to my last breath that this is the living body which your only begotten Son, our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ, took from Our Lady and the Queen of mankind, the holy, sinless Virgin Mary, Mother of God. He made it one with his Godhead without confusion or change. He witnessed before Pontius Pilate and was of his own free will condemned in our place to the Holy Tree. Truly, I believe that his Godhead was not separated from the manhood for a moment, for the twinkle of an eye. He gave his body for the remission of our sins and for eternal life for them that partake in it, of it. I believe that this is, in very truth, the body. Once we assume this faith in the Holy Eucharist, that Jesus Christ is here and now and there, near, two wonderful corollaries follow. This means that Jesus is alive on earth and practicing the virtues that he wants us to admire and imitate. And we can never do it without the Holy Spirit, guys. Never. And he is in the Blessed Sacrament as the most dramatic manifestation of his love in order that we might love him in some corresponding measure in return. Kathy, would you like to go forward from there and just take it easy and very deliberate on the teachings tonight?
Sure. Jesus is living on earth today in the Eucharist. Jesus living in the Eucharist. We can never meditate too much on the historical life of Jesus as he lived that life in first century Palestine. And it's now called first century because he lived at that age. He made it to first century. It began with his incarnation in the womb of Mary, then through the long hidden years at Nazareth, followed by his preaching and his miracles in Judea and Galilee, and then his passion that all four evangelists concentrate so much upon as though everything else before it was only a prelude, which it was. Finally, his death and resurrection and ascension to his heavenly Father, as we read these pages, we are filled with the evidence of how the divine attributes were lived out by a human being, and therefore what all ages have told men, they would be as holy as they became godlike. This became a real, even simple possibility because, since that man was God, whatever virtues as man he practiced were the attributes of God, revealing themselves to us and inviting our imitation. Most of the books on the spiritual life understandably concentrate on that life of Jesus. It is real and important and indispensable in the pursuit of holiness.
That sentence, I think everyone that shares this with others, read that, and just read that last sentence again, Kathy.
It is real and important and indispensable in the pursuit of holiness.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
But with this adversative, we enter what will be in the years and the generations to come discovery, especially for those chosen souls who want to know how to become holy by becoming like Jesus, and we'll see his virtues practiced not only in the pages of the gospel, but in the blessed sacrament of the altar. I could not better recommend anyone than St. Julian Maynard. There are 9 books in English by him, all on this profound subject. Volume 1, The Real Presence. Volume 2, Holy Communion. Volume 3, Eucharistic Retreat. Volume 4, The Eucharist, Christian Perfection, Volume 1. And Volume 5, The Eucharist and Christian Perfection, Volume 2. Volume 6, The Eucharistic Handbook. Volume 7, Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament. Volume 8, Month of St. Joseph. And Volume 9, In the Light of the Monstrance.
Can we hold this? Can someone see if they can find those volumes? They don't have to order them themselves. They don't want to. But if you can find out where we could get those books by St. Julian Maynard on the Eucharist, I think it would be a great asset for us to put in an arsenal. I haven't seen how big they are, where they are or anything. If somebody could take that on as an assignment as one of the leaders and maybe find out how we could get those books, that would be nice. Go ahead, Kathy.
I strongly recommend reading works of this man who profoundly changed my life when I first read him. What are we saying? Jesus not only lived on earth 1900 years ago, he is living on earth today. And behind that present tense is all the implication for the following of Christ and the becoming Christ-like that those who not only believe in the Eucharist, but understand what the Eucharist is, have at their constant daily disposal. This present tense is what our faith reveals to us, and by God's grace, we are enabled to make it our own. God never just tells us anything. He never wastes his revelation. He always makes sure there is corresponding grace to put that revelation into practice. Jesus teaches us the virtues he is practicing in the Eucharist: humility, patience, obedience, and self-surrender.
Do you see those also in there?
What's that?
All right, Greg. This based on what I'm finding is a Eucharistic Handbook by Saint Peter Julian Heimerd, 1948, rare vintage religious book. It's pre-owned for $39.99 and $3.49 shipping. And this is eBay.
Is that on? Is that with all the volumes we're just talking about? Is that all in there?
Well, that's what I'm looking at, and it's a Eucharistic Handbook. So the Rosary Eucharistic Meditation. So he's got a number of books here. How to get more out of Holy Communion.
All right,
so
send it.
You go to eBay. Go ahead, Mike.
Look up when if you get a chance to look it up under Veritas Christian Bookstore. They have them in Texas and down south. I don't know if they have them up this way.
Well, just text it to me, you know, Don, or email it to me if you would. Go ahead, Kathy.
Jesus teaches us the virtues he's practicing in the Eucharist: humility, patience, obedience, and self-surrender. What does it mean that Jesus is living on earth today in the Eucharist? It means many things. He is here because he wants to be here to teach us the virtues he is practicing. Note the present tense, the virtues he is practicing in the Eucharist, and that he wants us to duplicate in our lives. He's practicing humility of the highest degree. While on earth in visible form, he veiled his divinity but manifested for everyone to see his humanity. So true was this that many saw only Jesus, the man, and could not, because they would not, see Christ, who is God. But in the Eucharist, Jesus also hides his humanity. This is the glorious humanity that was transfigured on Tabor and is now resplendent in heaven and is the object of awesome adoration by the angels and saints. How we need this lesson: to be willing to be hidden, to be willing not to be recognized, to be willing not to be acknowledged, not to be praised, not to be honored. How our proud human hearts seek recognition and mystery of human iniquity, we not only seek recognition for what we are and have, but sometimes we even stupidly make believe that we are and have what we are not and don't have.
Wow.
Greg, I just sent you, and I sent Kathy, and I sent Michael, and I found a better Christ the King Books and Gifts, Ed Edmond Library, Volumes 1 through 9. And this is a paperback, $9.95, and it covers all these volumes that we're talking about here. And,
it sounds good. Thank you, Don.
Yeah, so I sent it all. You got it.
All right, and thank you, too, Kathy. I know we've been a little bit, feels like we're a little bit broken up at times, but you're doing good. Continue, please.
If humility is the willingness not to be recognized, surely Jesus in the Eucharist is humble in the most extreme way that even God could devise. It looks like bread, like wine, but it is neither. It is the Son of God in human form. What a rebuke to our mass civilization. Jesus in the Eucharist is practicing sacrifice. He surrenders himself to the conditions of place and space. Wherever the Eucharistic elements are present, there are only there is Jesus in the Eucharist. And in the sacrifice of the Mass, Jesus time and again offers himself to his Heavenly Father for our salvation. As Pope Pius XII explains in his encyclical, Mediator Dei, which I recommend for your reading and meditation, in every Mass, Christ would again die for our sins. He is there with the self-same flesh and blood that he had on Calvary. And the only reason he does not die is because he is now glorified and immortal. Jesus in the Eucharist is practicing obedience. The moment the priest pronounces the words of consecration, Jesus obediently comes down on the altar. As Augustine says, whether it is a John or a Peter or a Paul who consecrates, Jesus becomes present. Or whether it is a Judas who consecrates, Jesus becomes present. He allows himself to be placed where the priest wills, and nowadays Christ in the Eucharist is put in places that are not, to say the least, respectful. Even in tabernacles that are hidden out of sight, so many of the faithful are asking, what has happened to the Eucharist? Jesus allows himself to be received by people who are worthy, but also by those who are not worthy to receive. How many have asked me, how can it be? And there is no answer. Almost no one in some parishes ever goes to confession. And yet it seems everyone is going to communion, even men and women known to be living lives of sin and open adultery. Jesus allows himself to be received by them too. Judging by some of the histrionic celebrations that are supposed to be the Mass, he also allows himself to come into the midst of a gathering in which the people are sometimes totally preoccupied with themselves, with the noise and movement they are making, as though the Savior of the world was not right there. Jesus allows himself to remain in the tabernacle unvisited, unappreciated, unrevered, and for many Catholics, unknown. How we need this lesson of Christ's patient obedience to the Eucharist.
Hold on just a second. I don't know. There's been about four times when it says that I've been muted. Please don't do that.
Well, I'm hearing some background noise. That's what I'm trying to
It's not in mine. Don't mute me on this. It's too important. Okay, go ahead, Kathy.
How we need this lesson of Christ's patient obedience in the Eucharist. And how we need, according to the grace given to us, to make up for the indifference and neglect that Christ experiences in the Blessed Sacrament. Excuse me. If somebody could read it, I got to get it right.
As he told St. Margaret Mary, what most pains me is that I am so coldly treated by my consecrated souls. The priests and the religious, who above all should show me their affection. How many of you, how many people would you say percentage-wise in your parish? I don't, it doesn't have to be just percentage of what number there is. You know, it's like I probably have 500 souls in my parish. How many of those 500 people or 100 or whatever, what percentage of those that are in your parish go to confession on somewhat of a regular basis, you know? How many do you see going to confession on Sundays? Well, that's a general question for all of us, guys. I know that in my parish, as far as those that are Caucasian, there's probably maybe averages 3 a week, and at least 2 out of the 3 are consistently going. And but yet, like Father Hardin said, you don't see many going to confession, but everybody's going to communion, right? And we're missing out on one of the things that, and it's part of that humility and obedience, that we do what God said for us to do. Like Mary said, do whatever he tells us, and that's not just idle words, you know. Okay, Jesus is living on earth today in the Eucharist. Amen.
I'm back, Greg.
Okay, our third body. Go ahead.
Our third and final level of reflection is on Jesus loving in the Eucharist. Not only then is Jesus Christ alive and on earth in our midst, teaching us by his humility and patience, obedience and self-surrender, to be humble, patient, obedient, and selfless in our lives. But he is in the Blessed Sacrament par excellence as the one who loves. Consider the following. It was out of sheer love, through no compulsion or necessity, that God made the world, made up part of the world, and needless to say, we are grateful. He did not have to. It was out of pure love that God became man to redeem us from sin. Love became man, which is a definition of the incarnation. Again, he did not have to. It was out of sheer love that the God-man allowed himself to be crucified so that he might shed his blood for our sins. Surely, he did not have to. It was out of love alone that the night before he died, God-made man decided to transform bread and wine into his living flesh and blood by instituting the Eucharist. He did not have to. It was out of love and nothing else that he instituted the priesthood to perpetuate the miracle of transubstantiation so that he could remain among us in this valley of tears. Again, he did not have to. It is therefore love that moved God to be where we are, to be available to us at our will, to be close as close can be, to be a human being who is also God, and as this man God, to invite us to come to him. What does all of this mean to us? It means that even as he is with us in mind and affection, so we should be with him. That is why he is here. His love should evoke our love. His willingness to sacrifice should prompt our desire to surrender. But how loath we are to give up. His readiness to give himself to us entirely should move us to give ourselves to him entirely. I would like to close with a long prayer of our late beloved Pope John the 23rd, a prayer addressed to Jesus in the Eucharist. And the title is appropriately, Jesus, King of Nations. This is a man of faith praying. Jesus, King of Nations. Jesus, King of Nations and Ages, receive the acts of adoration and praise that we, your brothers, by adoption, humbly offer to you. You are the living bread come down from heaven, which gives life to the world, John 6:33. High priest as well as victim, you offered yourself on the cross in a bloody sacrifice of expiation to the eternal Father for the redemption of the human race. And now each day you offer yourself on our altars by the hands of your ministers so that there might be restored in each heart your kingdom of truth and light, of holiness and grace, of justice, love, and peace. Preface of the Mass of Christ the King. King of glory, may your kingdom come. Rule from your throne of glory, Hebrews 4:16, in the hearts of children, so that they may keep immaculate the shining purity of their baptismal innocence. Rule in the hearts of youth, so that they may grow in wholesomeness and purity and docility to the voice of those who represent you in the family, school, and church. Rule in the heart of the home so that parents and children may live united in the observance of your holy law. Rule in our country so that in the harmonious ordering of the social classes, all its citizens may regard themselves as children of the same Heavenly Father, called to work together for the common temporal good and happy to belong to that one mystical body of which you, sacrament, is both the symbol and the everlasting source. I think I missed the line. Let me reread that. All its citizens may regard themselves as children of the same Heavenly Father, called to work together for the common temporal good, and happy to belong to that one mystical body of which you, sacrament, is both the symbol and the everlasting source. Rule, finally, King of Kings. Okay.
Go ahead, Kathy. Read down to, we're going to stop at the gift of the sermon. So go ahead and read his last two paragraphs.
Read down to what?
To that, read those last two paragraphs before the gift of discernment.
Okay. Rule, finally, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Deuteronomy 10:17, over all the nations of the earth and enlightened rulers of each nation, that inspired by your example, they may nourish, quote, thoughts of peace and not of affliction, end quote. Jeremiah 29:11. Eucharistic Jesus, grant that all people may serve you freely in the knowledge that, quote, to serve God is to reign, unquote. May your sacrament, O Jesus, be a light to the mind, strength to the will, and attraction to the heart. May it be a support to the weak, comfort to the suffering, viaticum of salvation to the dying, and for all may it be a pledge of future glory. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. We're going to stop there, and Donald, the gift of discernment, we'll start out with that next week, so we don't try to go to them. Just bring that in, and if I add another, I think that gift of discernment will also take as much time as it did tonight. So take about 50 minutes next week also. I knew there'd be quite a bit there. And thank you also for the way you read it tonight, Kathy, because there's just too much important things for teaching in that needs to be read and reread, you know. And there's a lot of times we could have stopped, but I think it's maybe a good time to find the insights of you, Kathy, and the others, as we finish out our night. You know, what struck you the most, Michael, with this first teaching?
Well, I look at this, and I have not looked at the Eucharist in that light. I think the first inclination that this was something extremely special is that it was written by Father John Harden. We've gotten acquainted with him before, and some other things that he has written. So this is a real treat. And if you miss this week, you don't want to miss next week. But it's going to be something. It's going to be a joy to experience.
Amen. Amen.
And we got Doc from Tennessee, and he's been hanging in there. Doc, what did you think of what Kathy read so far?
Oh, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. To answer a couple questions that were asked about going to confession, now I go to the Latin Mass, and I see people in line for confession pretty much every day. I mean, and these people, I don't know what they have to confess. They lead the most holiest lives I've ever seen. So, I mean, I know I've got to be missing things when I go in there. For those that don't believe in the Eucharist, don't go up and get it. You're not proving anything to anybody, and you're just hurting yourself. Can you send me a list of that books, Gregory? I can get texts from Greg. For some reason, me and Don have trouble texting each other. He doesn't get my texts. I don't get his. So you can send me a list of that books or that one that he sent to you. When he talked about putting the tabernacle back in the center of the church. Righteous masculinity jumped in my head. That, he's right. The men need to stand up and say that. It shouldn't just be the priest. The priest should be a reflection. He should lead. By all means, they should lead. But they should also be a reflection of their parish. If they're leading them proper, they'll be a reflection of that parish. And that parish will be a reflection of them. And the last thing I want to put, that opening statement about how the Lord gave his only begotten Son so those that believe in him may have eternal life, does not say will have. It says may have. And then words are important. We have to step up. Satan believes in Jesus. He knows Jesus personally. You know what I'm saying? So it can't be just, I believe. You, faith without works is dead. We got to start pulling our own weight. We got to start stepping up. It's not, you know, you got to look for things to do. There's plenty to do around you. But, you know, if you got to open your eyes and see them. There's so much to do. Anyway, that's where I'm at.
Well, thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Yeah.
And Donald, you haven't spoken.
Well, to me, especially, I mean, what is being said, when you go to confession and how important this is, Jesus gives this great sacrament of love, of healing and forgiveness. He gives you, through the priest, his minister, he gives you a judgment of mercy, what I call the confessional, the mercy seat of God. And this mercy, Jesus will honor when we stand before him to face his justice. He will honor the mercy he bestows upon us in this great sacrament of love. And so, one good confession is worth more than 100 exorcisms. And so I think it's so important. And, you know, Greg, I have spoken a number of times on the last four things. And in doing so, promoting confession, and it seems that wherever we've done this, that we keep the priest busy. He's hearing confessions all night long. Long lines. And that's good. That's awesome.
It is indeed. Kathy, you want to finish her out there?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, about Jesus' love in the Eucharist, and I look up at him at the cross, and I think, you know, I tell my children, if you're in it for revenge or you want to get one over on somebody because you're mad, when does that ever end? And if you look at the cross, that's where it ends. That's the most that somebody can do that's evil. They can always stoop lower than you can. You'll never win if you choose evil. It ends in death. And so Jesus, he conquered death. And they did the worst to him. They did the most evil, the torture and the death. And he conquered that by coming back to life and showing them that love is greater than evil could ever be.
Amen. Oh, my God. And God is love, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, it's like everything that we can talk about God is so much more than we can even put in words, you know. And I'm going to take us another opportunity here to I don't know everyone out there around the world that's listening, but these teachings that we're getting from one of the most theologically sound priests that's to me that's ever lived, you know, that was a mentor to a very holy Pope, St. John Paul II, and also to St. Mother Teresa. I don't guess too many of us can put those two in our arsenal of ones we've taught and been with. But, you know, the Marian Catechist program, which enriches through Mary what we've been reading and being taught, like tonight. And if you have not consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Sorrowful Immaculate Heart of Mary, you are doing your own life a disservice. And to understand that to do that will take you places you cannot go on your own as a human being. That that is a very special consecration, and there's St. John Paul II. He said it was a changing point in his life. A changing point in his life. Now you wonder what all he had to do, everything, all the accolades that we could give him. And here John Paul said it was a changing point of his life because the special grace and everything that he gave his mother. And it's coming up here this week, isn't it? Or, yeah, on Thursday?
Yep, the
Feast of the Master Conception, yes. And so if you have not made that consecration yet, I'm just letting you know that it will increase your walk to the Lord, because nobody loved our Lord greater than our Lady Mary, his mother. We can all have a deep love for him and a deep love for our children, but Mary takes it to a level of love that is a supernatural level of love that she has for her son. And so you can see why, once you understand that, why it can take you closer to Jesus in the Eucharist. It's just another thing that can increase our own walk to eternity. And here I am. You all, Kathy, you have to take, each one of you have to take some responsibility for me getting into my car right now. So I can go out to the, before our Lord. And, not that everybody has to do this, guys. I'm just 5 minutes away from church, so I'm going to go. Y'all convicted me tonight through Father Hollard's teaching that I need to, you know, sometimes we think we've done enough. Well, I went already this week, you know, but when sometimes we can do a little bit more, not to be known. I'm not saying it for any of you to even think it. Think about that. I pray that every day to die to myself, so that every moment that we breathe, it's not about our own recognition or glory. It's about the good Lord and about Our Lady. And I am so blessed that y'all are in my life that can keep me straight. If you were close enough, I'd just let you slap me if I ever got out of line. So appreciate you all so much. You want to end with a prayer, Donald, or Kathy?
Well, I definitely do, but Kathy, you take it from there, Kathy. You know, the big three in Latin.
All right. Nomine Patri Filii Spiritui Sancti. Pater Noster qui es in cede, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cedo et in terra. Panamersum Corridianum Danova Sodie, Edimite Nobis Debite Nostra, Sicuretnos, Demitimus Debitori Bus Nostris, Enenos Inducas and Tentationum, Sedibernos Amalo Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu Mariaibus, benedictus fructus sanctus tui Iesu. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri, Filio, Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat et in principio, et nunc et semper saecula saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri, Filii, Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
If you haven't been to Mass in a while, have you wondered what you've been missing?
That's the power of love.
The creator of the universe, becoming the bread of life, just for you. Why not start attending Mass again and see for yourself what you've been missing? Saturday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Deeper Truth presents Freedom Is Not Free. We look at politics from every conceivable angle.
The one on the right was on the left, and the one in the middle was on the right, and the one on the left was in the middle, and the guy in the rear. Methodist.
This freewheeling discussion highlights the accomplishments of many who are working to save America.
The guy on his rear said, oh dear.
Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, and his team host this fast-moving review, along with guest commentator Kansas Representative Bill Sutton, provide thoughtful analysis of where America stands, whether in the crossroads or the crosshairs. To join the conversation, call 646-595-2071, 646-595-2071, and remember, freedom is not free.
And the guy in the rear burned his driver's license.